Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. Will you turn with me again today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And by the time we finish with everything today, we ought to have memorized these verses of Scripture. Thank you for watching, and as I normally do, I want to urge you to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the Scripture references. And if you have a Bible, open the Bible and study with a reader right along with me. And let's see what the Scripture says. We've been talking about the blessings of death for the saint of God. The Bible is very clear. It says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And there are numerous passages that along this line that show that God Almighty put some kind of particular emphasis upon a saint of the Lord going to be with him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, the Bible says. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, all things are yours, whether life or death. And there are a lot of people today that refer to death as an escape out of this world. And I'm sure that in most cases they're not aware that what they're saying is basically true, scripturally. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And we that are saved by the grace of God are looking forward to that day that we will be delivered from this present evil world. We don't want to die. Paul in Philippians says that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he goes on and he says that dying would be far better than going through the trials and the tribulations, contradictions, and things of this world. But he said, it would be good for me if I could just go and be with the Lord. It would be better for me to do that. But he said, it's better for you that I remain here. In other words, he, Paul, is the gift of God to the church, which is the body of Christ. And so it's better that he remain here. You know, people are always trying to get healed, and that's natural. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, referring to himself, that he was caught up to the third heaven and he saw things that it was unlawful for him to speak at that time. And lest he be exalted above measure by the revelations of the things that he saw, there was given him a thorn in the flesh. He calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. In other words, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He didn't describe what it is. And by comparing the Scripture and studying the Scripture, you might be able to find out basically what it is. But nevertheless, he didn't say that at that particular point. But he prayed that God would remove this. And God didn't remove it. He didn't answer his prayer. Instead, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now think about it. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to put on the board and I'm going to say that right here represents the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died in A.D. 33. He was a 33-year-old man when he died. And so that would have been A.D. 33. The Bible says that he died for your sins. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And so Christ then paid for our sins on Calvary. But at that point, people such as Peter and the apostle, they didn't know that. They didn't understand that. In fact, Peter tried to stop the crucifixion of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going up to Jerusalem, and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die, and so forth. And Peter said, not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He didn't agree with that at all. So obviously then, having been preaching the gospel of the kingdom back here for a period of time, the gospel of the kingdom that he preached certainly did not include Christ dying for your sins. And so a new revelation was given unto the Apostle Paul out here. Saul of Tarsus, a rebel, a murderer, fighting against the Lord, he was saved and was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Now I'm getting to the thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's praying that God would heal him, but the Lord wouldn't do it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. What in the world is he talking about? Think about it. And notice in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We'll get back to 1 Thessalonians in just a moment. In Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. And then there's a parenthesis in there. Skip the parenthesis and go to verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now listen closely to what he's saying. Read it with me. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, those who have died, they're going through the sleep of death, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, not his angel, as in Revelation chapter 1, not the angel of the Lord, as in Daniel chapter 12, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But you know that in that physical human body that you're walking around in, you can't go to where God is. God Almighty put Adam out of the garden. Adam and Eve sinned in partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, rebelled against God and sinned, and God put them out of his presence, and you cannot get into the presence of God in your sin. That is, in your sin, you walk around, you that are saved by the grace of God, you walk around in this world in a physical human body that sin is inside of. Paul said, I am carnal, sold unto sin. He said, the good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. If then I do that I would not, I consent of the Lord is good. Now it's no more I that do, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul, in a physical human body, couldn't go up to heaven. You can't go to where God is in the physical human body. Yet the Bible said that we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How's that going to be accomplished? Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, reference to the Lord, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, then God Almighty predestinated those that he foreknew. In other words, back here somewhere, we've talked about it before the foundation of the world, God Almighty foreknew, if you would trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. God foreknew back here, if you would claim Christ during this period of time up here, and if you would, then he predestinated that you would be conformed to the image of his Son. So he has to change you to get you to where he is. And so there's a day coming then that our vile bodies are going to be changed and made like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be caught up together with those that sleep in Christ. We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. When? After our vile bodies are changed and made like unto his glorious body. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, so forth and so on. Well, then we know that flesh and blood can't get to where God is, so he's going to change our vile bodies, make us like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians 1, verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Then it is the will of Almighty God that you be changed someday and caught out of this world. You see, we've been redeemed spiritually, Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be redeemed physically, Ephesians chapter 4. So we're looking for the redemption of our vile bodies. Now, wait a minute. Paul wanted to be healed. There's some people that he couldn't heal them. He couldn't lay hands on them and them be healed. Timothy, he left at a particular place. He told him, he said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Another man, he left at Miletum, sick. He didn't heal him. And so when Paul prayed for healing, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee? What grace? This grace right here. What did I find out by that? I found out that by grace you are saved through faith, which includes the changing of your vile body and making it like unto the glorious body. It includes those who have died, asleep in Christ, are in the grave. Their bodies are in the grave. And when the Lord returns, they're going to get up. They're going to stand up on their feet. Our vile bodies are going to be changed. They'll be changed. And together we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. You see, there's some people that are probably listening to my voice right now that there's going to be a deal pulled on you you're not going to know how to handle. You see, somebody can convince you right now that you can get out of the pew and come down to an altar and pray through to the Lord there. Others will convince you that you can come down there and repeat a prayer after them. Somebody else will convince you that you can repent of your sins and be baptized for remission of sins, and they just go on and on and on, and that's going to get the job done. But there's a deal going to happen to you someday, then you're not going to be handled that. Can you change your vile body? You can't change your vile body. You can repent. You can get baptized. You can join the church. You can walk the aisle. You can confess your sins and all the things that they tell you about. But you cannot change your vile body. By grace, Paul told the Ephesians, you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And people are nutty as a pecan pie, and a lot of them preachers, because they can't get the picture that the faith referred to there is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, by faith, went to Calvary and died for those that God promised him before the foundation of the world. Go back to Titus and look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Well, you weren't there before the world began. You didn't show up over there. You were not there. You weren't until you were born. And you were born in this century. Well, when Christ died on Calvary, he died for people that will be in his body. So God promised him eternal life for his body. We are the church, which is his body. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Greek, bond or free, male or female. And so, by believing on Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit identifies us in the body of Christ, for whom Christ died on Calvary. Christ died for his body. The church, which is his body. So God promised him eternal life back here for the members of his body. And so he said to the Ephesians, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That grace, that faith, not of yourselves. You have to believe on Christ to have access to the faith of Christ. No matter how you slice it, it all comes down to a day when our vile bodies will be changed, the dead will be raised, and together we'll be caught up to heaven. So Paul is praying for healing. And the Lord said, my grace, this grace, my grace, that which was taken care of at Calvary by the faith of Christ, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, just hang around, Paul. One day, your vile body is going to be changed and made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be healed eternally. You see, people who go up to Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and Richard and on and on and on, all these people never get healed. Say they do too? No, they don't. Every last one, are you listening to me? Every last one, going all the way back to Peter in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth, the apostolic age, and on and on and on, every last one that were healed, whether it was through the ministry of Peter or John or the apostles or Paul, every last one died later on. I bet you're not listening. Bless God, they died. those that claimed healing during the Oral Roberts ministry 20, 30, 40 years ago died. They're people that were supposedly healed by Benny Hinn within the last year died. Don't you see the picture? All men die. All things work together for good of them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose, death is a blessing to the saved. Don't you realize that? And so God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. This dispensation called the dispensation of the grace of God is that great blessing. Someday you're going to die if the rapture doesn't come. But you have the assurance, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You have the promise of Almighty God that He'll raise you from the dead and that He'll catch you out of this world someday. So, the dead are blessed. Paul said it's better to die and go to be with the Lord than to live in this stinking rotten world today. But then people don't believe that. They're scared to death of death. Why? Because preachers use it as a gimmick to get people to walk the aisle. Now, we talked about death as a merciful sleep to those who are in pain. Somebody's in pain in the hospital, hurting so bad looks like they can't stand it any longer. A nurse is called, she comes in, gives that person a shot of some kind of drug, and that drug puts them to sleep. They sleep there, lying peacefully on the bed asleep, without any pain. Well, death is a sleep from all pain. But wait a minute. If that nurse comes in and gives that individual a shot of morphine or whatever it is they give them, and it puts them to sleep so that they don't hurt anymore, the individual, the family members don't crowd around the bed and try to wake that person up. Wake up, wake up. Oh, you can't leave us. And all. They don't do that. Well, then why can't you thank God for the death, the peaceful sleep of a loved one that God puts to sleep and they don't suffer pain anymore? Death is a peaceful sleep from toil and heartache. There are Christian people in the world today that are just torn. It doesn't make any difference about some Pentecostal preacher talking about how that if you believe on Jesus Christ, God will take away all your pain and your suffering. And if you've got sins, God will take away the want to and all. Oh, come on, folks. I want you to think about it. Let's just say that there's a family in Korea in the early 50s. This family, a missionary, has come in there and preached unto them, and they got saved. Saved by the grace of God. Trusted Christ as the Lord and Savior. And along comes the northern army through there. Strips their house. Takes out every bit of food they've got. Rape the child. We're talking about saved people now. There they are. And they just go through all this mess. And these people go on their way. Then later on, the United Nations army come back up through there. And they do the same thing. And this man who trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior, honestly believing that Christ died for his sins, is standing there watching his little child dig in a garbage can, trying to find a banana peel in there so that he can eat the softness inside of that banana peel. Saved, yes. Well, why didn't God take care of him? Why didn't God Almighty provide all this stuff for him? By grace you're saved. That salvation isn't complete yet. Don't you understand that? That salvation won't be complete until you're resurrected or until during this age you're alive, your body is changed and made like unto His glorious body. But then people pull the wool over folks' eyes So they'll go to a healing campaign. Well, the greatest healing campaign there is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The greatest healing campaign that you can ever hear, the greatest miracle that ever happened, is that salvation is by grace through faith. It's by the grace of God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God guarantees you that if you'll trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, someday He's going to change your vile body. He's going to heal you, and there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more heartache. Death, as we see it, is a sleep. Peaceful sleep from toil and labor. That isn't all. Death is a means of delivery from your carnal body. People are always going forward and repenting of their sins, and then they repent of their sins, and then they repent of their sins, and they do it over and over and over, and they confess their sins and confess their sins and they confess their sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says that no one, no temptation is any different than any other person. Temptation is the same for all people. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. Someday, God is going to change your vile body if you're saved and make it like His glorious body, and you'll never again have to repent of your sins, as you're told. You'll never again need to confess your sins. You'll never again be tempted as you've been tempted. You'll never again have the heartache and the guilt complex of it all. Why? You'll be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the last thing I want to mention to you is that death is a doorway into eternal life for a lot of people. A lot of people, some of you listening to my voice, you want to get out of this life? There's a way. There's a day coming when it's like there's an invisible wall over there somewhere, and God Almighty just going to bring you through that invisible wall, and you're going to get onto the eternity side on the other side there. You're going to go through that wall there, your vile body be changed, raised from the dead, and never again will you have pain and misery and heartache and sorrow or temptation. All pain will be taken away. Tears will be taken away. And there'll be peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't curse death. Thank God for it. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Thank you for watching. Until next time, good day.